right?
Does anybody have any trouble with Joey's house? We'll call the committee to order and we have a quorum.
You need something to write with. I said, just take Chris's hand, he's got a point on it.
Hey.
Hey.
It's 26 to 12, the magic number again, huh?
Don't you have anything to do in the Senate?
Yeah, why don't you go work someplace?
No, I would have grew up once already.
Be careful, I had to vote for the thing. Be careful, I might be your constituent.
I thought you were dead. After listening to that resolution, I thought you got killed overnight, you know?
Sounded like an obituary, didn't it?
That's what I asked him. I said, I didn't know you died.
Well, let's take up committee substitute Senate Bill 135.
But I know he's been bad.
Frightened him, thinking I might be a constituent.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we're taking up committee substitute for Senate Bill 135. Great bill. Did we have a copy?
Everybody gets in your little folders.
Okay, I asked Mr. Speckin to come by and brief us on this. It appears to be a non-controversial bill and equitable. Council's gone over it and checked with the administration. And they were instrumental in cranking out the committee substitute, that is the administration. Mr. Speckin has, of course, an involvement with the North Pacific Fishery Management Council for knowledge of, maybe you can fill us in.
Well, Mr. Chairman, what we're attempting to do is to bring those people into our retirement and health systems, in as much as there doesn't appear to be any other place that they fit. And while they're in a sense, they're quasi-federal, but still they're performing a function that is very much in Alaska's interest. They're Alaskan people that are on this North Pacific Fishery Management Council, and it seemed desirable to bring them under the umbrella of our retirement and health systems, etc. And that... Well, there just didn't appear to be any other way to do it, and for that reason, we determined that we would ask the state if we could come in. The functions of the persons that are on this council, the permanent employees, are their activities are principally related to Alaskans' welfare in the fishery matter. What I'm really saying is that more than they are to the national interest, albeit the availability of other states' people to participate in the fisheries there and for other, principally they're on our side, so to speak. But because of the nature of these, the consul, which is sort of a quasi or hybrid affair, they're not state employees, nor are they technically federal employees. That was our problem, and this was the way that we sought to address it.
How many employees are there?
There is the executive director, Jim Branson. There's Judy Willoughby, a secretary, and I'm not sure whether I would say there are five maximum. In other words, whether he's hired an extra girl up there, I don't know. But in my view, it would never go over five or six people would be the maximum number of persons.
There doesn't appear to be a fiscal impact on this as long as we stay with the bill.
Yes, that's right.
Are they members of the PERS? They're not state employees.
No, they're not state employees.
This allows where federal compensation is paid for a lot of federal funds that they're allowed to be included in the federal funds pay the employer's contribution.
But of course, the employee puts in his. Part of the reason for this arrangement is that they're, if they were federal employees, they would be, in some of our view, sort of maybe beholden to a federal attitude. As it is, they're completely free from those sort of apron strings. And we think more able to be impartial in their decision.
Do we write a budget for them? Is that VRU for the...
No. What they actually work on is a federal grant, an allotment.
Well, who handles a federal grant?
They handle it directly.
So it goes from the feds directly to the council? It doesn't
yes,
come through,
it goes directly to the council. And with an interagency arrangement from the federal government, some of the research that our fisheries people do is paid for in that manner.
Did you bring your assistant along?
My assistant makes these, he blesses or unblesses whatever your activities happen to be.
Is this the guy that has the research contract for the Comcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's the guy that wants to build a bridge on the desert so he can jump off of it. Does this open any other doors?
No.
I mean, like federal agents. I know a lot of federally funded outfits around the state from alcoholism going down, and they're not under the PR. So I wonder if any of them would feel like if we open this door, that while they're not state employed, they're actually paid by the federal government, they can join this, which is the best retirement system in the state. In the United States, if they just chose, you know, an hour.
I don't believe it does. I think it's sort of a unique situation that
does this include the council members like yourself and everybody else that just Sir Rasmussen or anybody that's on that I believe he's on that interview.
Yes. No. These are only the full time employees. The staff employees.
The committee might be aware of a letter of intent signed by Chairman of Senate Finance Committee John Sackett. It's very brief and to the point. I'll quote, the administration should not sign any contract at any time if the contract incurs costs to the state. And so there's that first idea there that the state should be putting in the box.
I understand.
How long is this council around for?
Forever.
As long as we got fish.
Actually,
that's not
Mr. Chairman, the council's responsibilities, I think, can only increase as our people develop a potential for managing the fisheries that are inside the 200-mile extended zone. In that the council is charged with developing management plans for all of those ocean fisheries. And by utilizing data that comes from both the National Marine Fisheries Service and from our own Department of Commercial Fish Statistical Division, they develop a feel for the volumes of fishes that are there. And the consul is charged with making recommendations to the Department, U.S. Department of Commerce and the State Department, as to what allocations should be made directly to foreign fishermen. And those allocations can only include the fishes that we don't utilize. Now, in order to sustain their position, the consul's recommendations must be backed up with statistical data that offers proof of your recommendations for allocation. Yeah, this is a rather complex and detailed procedure, which is, you know, a great deal of the data comes from the National Marine Fisheries Service. A substantial amount of data on salmon and king crab and tenor crab comes from our own Alaskan sources. There are no foreign allocations of salmon. There are no foreign allocations of king crab. There are some foreign allocations of tanner crab, which is a species we don't fully utilize, for example.
You know, and I'm sure Keith will understand this, being in judiciary, I learned over here, every time somebody brings up this retirement program, and I think, hey, that's a good idea, and it won't hurt anything. And then we ask for the people from the retirement board over here, Mr. Graves or whatever.
Bob Gates.
And he comes in about 5 minutes, scares me to death. If, you know, if we've got, if you do that, this will happen and that'll happen. And I've got no objections to Keith's bill. I wonder if we should debate. Have you talked to them, Keith Gates?
No, I haven't.
I just talked to Paul Arnold, Gates, left-hand person.
What did they say?
They got into this in the Senate side. They actually were responsible for the CES. They were concerned that if the Fed funds weren't enough to handle the contributions, they were concerned the state would have to step in. And so the last part of this bill, the section 154, says that if the employer's contributions are not paid when due, no credit service for the period of delinquency may be granted. So they said they liked the bill with that amendment, which was adopted by the Senate.
No problem. Yeah, that was the reason, I think, for Sackett's letter.
Yeah.
Which we could, maybe Keith can help me out. How do we, if we choose to pass it out, does the state affairs that lend more credence to Sackett's letter of intent, can we adopt that?
Certainly. Your notation could be that you have noted the letter of intent from the Senate and that you adopt that language.
Is there any objection to passing the bill?
Move the bill.
No objection. Okay, fine. How about the letter of intent as I quoted to you? Can we adopt that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a real must. So you got your first bill passed as a civilian.
I wish it were my bill, but I can't take credit for it. But I am pleased to. I might tell you that right at the moment, technically, I'm a free agent.
Free agent.
You're speaking on behalf of yourself without an axe to
grind
or a
burden to bear. But I do appreciate the opportunity to talk on this and. There is the council meeting tomorrow, and I'll be most happy to tell the employees that the committee has moved their bill. I don't think it has another referral, does it?
I think it's finance.
Does it go to finance?
Yeah. Shouldn't have any problem with that, except...
Oh, it's introduced by Senate Finance.
Well, on the paper, on the sign-off sheet is that fine.
Okay.
Oh, let me just make sure.
Just in case they ask me.
Well, yeah, but that's coming to the Senate.
That's your sentence, bro.
So it goes to finance.
All right, thank you.
I'll get somebody to wait to find it.
I'd like to bring up House Bill 324 now. At this time, that's McKinley's Disabled Veterans sponsor again, of course, is here, but he indicated he didn't have any problem with it in that light. From the memo, 324, the memo explains it there. And also, it's noted that. This exemption does not apply to disabled veterans who rent. I don't think that's sort of the intent.
What is the fiscal impact? Oh, wait a minute. Am I on the right bill? What bill are we talking?
324. I think it's 324. We had a fiscal note. You all got fiscal notes. I think I just
forget it. I was looking at it.
Huh?
Oh. It's here somewhere.
Yeah, I think we've got another copy of the fiscal note.
See, these fiscal notes, like in this one, when we see $181,000 for 79, we're not paying out 181, we're just not collecting 181.
So we'll be paying that to the municipalities.
Oh, I see, okay.
So a little tax.
I don't know how we ever got those in that arrangement like that.
Yeah.
They're veterans too, you know, in their community.
You don't have to type it out.
I wish there was some way that we could distinguish.
Oh, the malingerers?
I wish there was some way we could distinguish between combat veterans and those who, you know, in a beer bottle in Biloxi, Mississippi, but.
That's the perfect language.
I got hit in Fort Gordon.
I guess there's not really.
Anybody have any?
No clothes, I was a kid, I.
Yeah. Anybody wanna pass this bill out?
Just a second.
Yeah, I wanna save that committee substitute for tomorrow, we'll bring up.
I don't think Bradley would dare use the word malinger.
We should have called, it says any person covered under the native land claim settlement is not eligible for that. Like, I hear you come, you go through this. Hey, Al, we just admitted I'm offering an amendment, see what you think. It's on this veterans bill. I said anybody that's eligible for native land claims is not eligible under this bill.
Oh, that's good. Then we'll do the, we'll take care of that thing you wanted to take care of yesterday.
I think I better leave, but.
Okay, you ready for a motion?
Yeah.
I'd like to move the bill.
The objection, we're moving House Bill 324, McKinnon's disabled veterans bill.
McKinnon's in Bangor.
Yeah.
McKinnon's in Bangor, we want to stay out. Kelly.
No, good. Absent Kelly, a beer bottle.
This bill will have to be amended in future years, I think, would it be?
Oh, this is just a start, you'll see this section will be amended many more times.
Right, you're gonna work on that amendment.
Yeah, it's just verification on the income tax statement.
What, is that a requirement?
Yeah, so veterans gotta, have to, okay, verification for his income tax.
Oh, you just have to send him, you mean show gross receipt, show gross income?
Well, I mean, a guy oughta have to do something for the $400 he's gonna save him.
Oh, you don't like the requirement?
I don't like the.
He's getting right with us again, I tell you, he gets around with Kelly and we lose him.
You don't like the part that he has to prove how much he's making?
Oh, no, that's okay, I just don't like it to start fill part around with income tax.
Just heavy parts. I don't know, we're gonna go off the record.
Off the record, this may be the last bit.
Test stand. Okay, we'll call the committee to order, we have a quorum present, barely. And we've got a couple, three bills up and stuff, and at this time I'll turn the gavel over to Representative Nackett.
Well, I didn't mean literally. Let's do it right there.
Is there anybody want to testify on HB 229 commissioner? I have no preference in order of dealing with it.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Sterling Gallagher. I'm the Commissioner of Revenue, the record. I assume I'm testified to House Bill, the committee substitute for House Bill 329. And we've developed a fiscal note on the bill. And with the rate at 5% would cost the state $5.2 million. We originally introduced it for 2%, which would have cost us $2.5 million. We could support a rate of around 3%, but I can't go up to 5. I think it's too expensive at that point in time. But we could support a 3% rate, and that cost us right on $3 million. Going down to section 039, We think this is a very good provision, and I think the provision is won by Representative Bill Miles, and I think he should be commended for this, a good provision in the law. One small amendment I'd like to add to it is that it be on existing houses, because as the way the thing is currently written, you could do it on, you could charge off part of a new house being built. So I'd like to add the language on an existing house. And we have no idea what this would cost, but I can't feature that it costs that much. I mean, there aren't that many pre-existing houses that get re-insulated year to year, so I can't, at the top end of the scale, it might cost $200,000 or $300,000, and because that we would support that measure. The other provision we find it very hard to administrate. This is the one where they have a you keep track of what you spent last year, and you have a CPI index change, and you get to, if you saved the amount of money, or you use less fuel in the year before, then you get a 5% credit for that amount, and we find that just almost unbearable to administrate because of all the things you got to keep track of, and you almost have to keep track of by individual taxpayer to keep up on them, and I just find it administratively a nightmare.
Commissioner, what would your solution be to that for a nightmare?
Just drop it. I'm against that provision.
Could you, counsel, restate which particular line you're talking about on the committee substitute?
John, do you have specific language you want to add in specific places? Like where you want to add, of course, on 038, I would prefer to you drop it to 3%. And 039, where do you put in existing houses?
Well, that's not a problem. We can. Though I just want to make sure what your substantive comments are. The drafting parts I'm not worried about, but just want to make sure I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, I assume this alternate expenses of installation of alternate sources of power, other than to us, that's kind of hokey, because these are all wonderful goals, but. The chance of something happening under one of them, and our tax bill encouraging them to happen, is, I think, very remote. They'd do it anyway, and so I don't see any reason to give that sort of tax incentive. But I certainly support the insulating in houses and things like that. That's the sum total of my comments on
329.
Question from the committee, Mr. Miles.
Commissioner, I'm a little concerned about the feeling that we should drop the year-to-year incentive to reduce fuel. I realize it may mean that you have to prepare another tax, have another tax form. But under the capital improvement conservation credit, wouldn't you have to come up with another form?
Yeah, but this one would be a real complicated one.
Well, all it does is you take the prior year's dollar expenditure for fuel, for residential fuel, add the consumer price index, and subtract the current year, get 5%.
The other one is so easy, you might be able to include it on one line on the present tax form, but this thing, you got an auditing problem too. One you can send in the bills. The other one, you got to send your bills in for the prior 2 years,
you can just pick it up off the tax form from the prior year, can't you?
Well. Then we got to load in the computer what his fuel bill was for the prior year. Carry that number around on the computer all the time. It just.
Yeah, I can continue. I can appreciate that problem, but that section is really kind of the guts of the, are we going to conserve, make an effort to conserve fuel? And to give some incentive to the residence owner to conserve, and that's the heart of the matter.
You could, I think there are better ways to do it. You could do it through the Public Utilities Commission by changing some of the formulas, where the and make them come up with formulas that, you know, the more power you use, the higher your rate goes. I think it's a far more effective way to handle the problem than using the tax laws.
Then we get into the question of regulation, regulated versus unregulated utilities.
Well, I think you can make it a state law that all utilities, no matter whether regulated or unregulated, have to charge rates in a certain manner.
Any further questions for the commissioner?
On the, when you mentioned existing houses under section 39, is there a federal incentive now to insulate your home? Isn't there some kind of a credit on the federal level?
No, that's one of the proposals of President Carter.
Is that one of the energy proposals?
Yes, sir.
Further questions for the commissioner?
I'd like to leave behind our fiscal note.
Record. Thank you very much, Commissioner. Are you going to be testifying on the other piece of legislation also? Or
yes, sir.
Any further other testimony with reference to committee substitute for House Bill 329? Okay. The committee wish to take any action presently or wait till later? We'll take up House Bill 504.
Only one thing I noticed about it, I can support the bill, and would like to support the bill, is that you have to have a phrase in there that the Commissioner of Revenue has the authority to buy these loans from the Commissioner of Commerce, and you can't just make, he doesn't have the keys to the Treasury. Only I do. And so that's one feature of the bill that has to be changed. I also think your $25,000 limit on family income is too low. I think it has to be higher than that. Moderate income standards for, let's say, under Alaska Housing Finance, and I think you should use the low to moderate income standards, is up to something like $37,000, is it not, Bill? Almost $40,000 for some families. Yeah, I think, well, it's around 37.
$37,000 is low to moderate income. Moderate. I think that is moderate.
Oh, you're kidding. 40,000, fine. I think that's probably low to moderate.
I think.
Because especially you got a lot of people out in the rural areas who have, let's say, high incomes, but also high expenses.
40,000.
Yeah, like a lot of state employees get a 6% break out in the rural areas. There's six pay scales, which is 24% more.
Do you have any further comments on the...
No, I just support the bill.
Questions from the committee? Yeah. Identify yourself, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Bill McConkey. I'm the Director of the Division of Energy and Power Development, Department of Commerce and Economic Development. I would like to say we vigorously support number 504. I believe it does something which the federal government is not doing. That is, offers the lower and moderate income person a realistic opportunity to get involved in the energy conservation program, saving energy and saving his own dollars at the same time, improving his life, improving his standard of living at the same time by giving him dollars down the road available for other things. Federal government and the Carter proposal will allow tax credits for energy conservation measures. This reminds me of the tax credit on new homes purchased a few years ago, up to $2,000. Well, that was fine for people with money. People with no money, they can go build a home and take advantage of tax credit. This bill will allow lower income, moderate income people to, in effect, winterize and improve their homes. We support that. I would like to make specific comments to certain sections of the bill. I would imagine Representative Rudd, if she was here, might comment on page 1, line 26, if he is the owner, or if he and his members, his family, assuming that there are people in the state that are not he's that own homes. Here there are.
We haven't gone that far.
I also would like to recommend that the $25,000 limit is not too low, and that it should increase. I'm not as confident to say $40,000 is a magic number. I had scratched down 35, but I think what we're looking at is the fact that it needs to be increased. You're going to eliminate a great number of people. If you have a family income less than $25,000, you're talking about renters or squatters. You're not talking about people who go out and purchase and own their home and such. I think it should probably be raised to, I think, $40,000. I think Commissioner Gowers is probably correct to that amount. In section B, under 420, eligibility for loan, my colleague from the Department of Commerce, Pete Jeans, who is in the room and who can testify to this also, has handed me a note that raises a point about this section B may have been a little difficult to work with. It's fine that the applicant cannot obtain financial assistance from a private lending institution. The way it's written is that if our department drafts the regulations to go along with this bill, should become law. And then we're asking the guy, he's going to have to come in with a letter from how many banks, a bank, a credit union, says, we're not going to let you do this. Well, at what rate, and so on. Mr. Jeans believes that the phrase, after the word financial assistance, the phrase was added, at comparable interest rates, was added that we would shorten this process and simplify it a great deal. That a person could call could literally do it with a phone call and find out whether or not an institution would be available to make loans to him without filling out long applications and banks, credit unions, and having credit investigations, background checks, and everything else. It doesn't make our job any easier or any less easy, but it would simplify the matter for the consumer. I agree with you. I will let Mr. Jeans address the problem of processing within the Department of Commerce. My division will be capable to review the plans with present staffing
David Rogers.
And approve or disapprove. We would ask for no additional costs. We have seven people, right now that are capable of reviewing those. I could do it with some dispatch. There would be very little bureaucratic delay on this effort. Plus the fact that the University Extension Service would discuss this.
Well, off the top of my head.
We got 250 applications in one day.
Right. But I don't have anything written down.
Service also
if I get a chance, I'm really under the gun. If I get a chance, I can jot a few things down.
Chairman, I would conclude with saying this is a good bill.
Well, of course
I'm very glad to see it.
I wish I'd written it. Point since the people mandate for word favor.
Thank you, Mr. McConkie. Mr. Kelly.
Would you recommend, your office is in the Department of Commerce, Economic Development?
Yes.
Would you recommend we say Department of Economic
Development? Yeah, I mean, in the abstract, there certainly are. Yeah. Let me see what I can do.
I think the commission.
But I can't get it through for a while. All right.
If you wait, Mr. McConkie, Community Council would like to ask you a question.
All right.
I was just curious, are there any loans available at comparable interest rates?
No.
So that means that automatically you get the loan.
That
violates the spirit of this section, if it's intended that the loan should only be available if there aren't other loans available.
You're off the phone.
Yeah, I'm sorry to do this.
Yes, House State Affairs. Yes.
Commissioner?
Yeah. David.
Where are you going at?
No, I'm not asking questions.
I can.
Look down.
Hey, Janet, can I call you back? I'm in the middle of a meeting, I guess.
The unseen hand of the commissioner, though.
We'd be at ease for about half a minute.
Would you cut? You need a copy of one? Yeah, okay. If you can drop by, I'll show it to you. Okay? All right. Bye.
To answer your question, there is a move among lending institutions. It's happened in Seattle. It's happened in some other places in the Midwest, East Coast, of banks to make low interest loans for this very purpose.
Okay.
And so I think Seattle is making 6%.
But in Alaska, there are...
Not presently, but we believe that there's a possibility.
Yeah. Okay.
We're working with some of the banks. Why don't you do this? This is what we'll look at it.
It doesn't bother me that these things are automatically available to people. But I just, when you insert that clause, you might as well not have the clause at all.
That's true, but there's another effect here. Banks, we hope, will see that we're doing this. They're not doing that business, and they could.
Yeah.
And why don't they?
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Conkey. Mr. Pete Jeans.
On this one section that we're talking about, where we're saying that they obtain a loan from another financial institution.
Thank you.
I know how this works. We've had it in other loan programs before. All the people do is go to the bank and say, I want a letter saying I can't get a loan. They sign the letter and give it to them. And as a result, it's just extra paperwork that we're gathering. If we want that in the legislation, that's what will happen, I'm sure. It's happened in other loan programs, and we've eliminated these sections in all of the other loan programs. We don't have any of them. It's something that you can't really enforce. If they go into the bank and say, well, I've been banking you 3 or 4 years, I get this loan from the state, 7% sign this letter, so I don't have to pay 12% sign. So, to me, it's just facing reality on this section. And I think we're just sending out extra forms, creating extra work that we really don't need. The only other question that I had on the bill was also this limit for $25,000. It appears that the bill is a good bill. We're definitely in favor of it. But I question limiting it to people of that low of income. If it's going to be an energy saving type program, I don't know if we even want to put a limit as far as income. If it's going to be conserving energy, I think we're trying to get everybody to do it, no matter what their income is. But I don't know if we even want to, and that was only the other question that I had.
So, Mr. Jeans, at worst, you'd like to see the $25,000 limit eliminated and it raised.
I think raised or eliminated. I have no recommendation on what that limit should be. I didn't have a chance to talk to Commissioner Conkey or Commissioner Galler before I came over, but it sounds like their comments are pretty near the same thing as what mine were. I did submit a fiscal note. I just got a copy of this bill last night, and I submitted a fiscal note for a loan examiner. Didn't really have a whole lot to base that on because I don't know what kind of a volume we're going to have. I think this limit could have a whole lot to do with the volume that we have. Now that Mr. McConkie has told me that his division could review these applications, we could lower the physical note that we put on it, but I do think we would probably need a loan closer, probably a range 10, which would be quite a bit less than what I put on here. We've had several new loan programs added to the division, and I've held the positions out, and it's just going to work out that now is the time we're going to have another position. And it would not be utilized full time by this program, but with the addition of the other programs, we're going to have it to be able to handle this one.
Mr. Jeans, from a threshold point of view, would you state that that a
a figure of 35 to 40,000 would be something to start with. I'm not advocating that. I'm just looking for a place where we could start. And we may find that that people of the 70 and 80 and other levels of income may actually benefit and have a good effect with reference to the energy conservation activities that you know we may want to pursue on a state and national level.
I don't think it should be below 40.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee? Mr. Kelly?
Yeah, what kind of a lean position do we have here? In other words, we're pretty mobile up here, and some of the houses in the Anchorage area that I'm aware of come and go at a pretty rapid rate. And if for example, somebody takes out a $4,000 loan, what's going to require, and how are we going to enforce the fact that loan should be paid off when the house is sold?
Yeah.
I think legally that would be very difficult to do, because I think that most of these loans, we're talking about a $4,000 personal loan.
That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is a property improvement loan.
But I think the property is already going to have a lien against it. Now, if we want to go in and take a second mortgage on the house, we're talking about another couple hundred dollars for title insurance. We're talking about loan costs that I don't know if this house program would really want to get involved in. My feelings on it was that we would use a very simple application form. We're talking about a maximum loan of up to $4,000. We would get a commercial credit report on these people, and this would basically be our application. We would disperse the funds from a controlled account to the distributor or to the buyer that they were going to get the materials or have the work done. It would also require mortgage life insurance, which would probably be at the most on these loans probably $40 or $50. I think if we go and try to get real estate mortgages or other mortgages, we're going to run the cost up quite a bit on this. I don't know if we want to go there or not.
Mr. Kelly?
Well, I certainly want to do something like that. I don't want somebody dragging up and taking off the estate doing $4,000 personal loan and never seeing the estate again. I think the loan somehow should be tied to the obvious improvement that they're making. Now they're getting that loan to make an improvement on the resident. And certainly going to increase the value of the resident. But I think that somehow we should tie that loan program to some kind of set up. We're assured that the state's going to receive their money.
If we wanted to do that, well, most of them, I would say it would have to be separately discussed.
All right.
I think that
go ahead.
I'm not opposed to work just to protect our loans.
The only question
you don't have to wait for many reasons.
When is the agency appropriate?
Just as a matter of interest for you, perhaps, Mr. Jeans, but. Whenever you're done here, resources is looking for you for another testimony on another piece of legislation. So whenever you're done, not to say you are, but when the committee is finished with you. Mr. Kelly, do you have further comments?
Well, I noticed in the legislation that was not in there. And like I said, I would not object to that, but I feel that the statement should be superior to it. The only other program that we have in the state of the unsecured loans is the Veterans Personal Loan, that you can go up to $10,000. So I think the question is just way up to the legislation. But we could work with it either way. And I do feel more comfortable with secured loans.
Kelly?
What kind of language would you use?
I think I would put that. Just add a section and put that these loans would be secured by a second deed of trust whenever possible or collateral acceptable to the commission. I think you would almost have to leave it open to other collateral. So, but that's enough to say that, yes, the loans will be collateralized.
Any further questions or comments from the committee, Mr. Miles?
Pete, how many, you deal with any number of loan programs, how many actual loans would you envision the first year on this? Did you, and I realize it's just, you're pulling a figure out of the air, but just from what you've seen in other schools.
I think a lot is going to depend on the dollar amount that we have for people to qualify. If it's pretty open, I think it'll be a lot. I think it'll be a lot of the people in there. The middle and higher income bracket.
We're still looking at agencies in one sense, and that kind of thing.
And I'm not sure if that's what the legislature really wants. I don't know. If we're talking about conserving fuel, about him doing it,
right,
we're still getting the same end result.
Right.
Right. It's going to take some time to.
Thank you.
For people to be aware of the program.
Okay, I'm on my own, and I appreciate it.
We're waiting for the legislature to end, and we're putting together a brochure that has a brief description of all of the loan programs that we administer, and it's going to be like that. And we're going to mail that out for everybody to see the package. So people are going to know about these programs, and if this one passes, they're going to know. So I think it's going to easily be 100 the first year.
Mr. Miley, for the comment. Mr. Kelly. Mr. McConkey.
Chairman, if I might, to Mr. Miles' question. If this bill becomes law, my division is going to do everything in its power to let everybody humanly possible know that it's there. This is a good bill. And we would like to see that work done. Well, that's from an energy conservation viewpoint. And it will not take long for a lot of people in the state to realize to borrow money from the state of Alaska and do work on their home, and then get money back on their federal income taxes for doing that work. They can get a tax credit back from the feds for doing it.
Yes, generally.
So you're looking at a guy who can make some money doing this, in effect. He's going to have a short-term cash return for doing this. And so I think I can easily visualize shooting it all. I don't care how much money you put in there. You can spend it all. I can see that.
Mr. James, any further comments?
No, I have no more, Mr. Chairman.
Committee? Just in the matter of attempting to make sure we're covering all bases, did you need to testify on 505 or the other piece of legislation?
No, I was not planning on testifying on 505. I feel about the same as Mr. McConkey does on that. I think that whatever amount of money is appropriated will probably be spent.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Pete. Thank you. Any further comments on 504?
Is that the name?
Are we planning to pass it out today?
I was waiting for us to have a quorum before attempting to move any of this legislation, Mr. Kelly. Did you want to take action at this point?
I want to talk over the bill first.
Okay, let me answer this
question. Okay, fine. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Appreciate it,
Bill. Not too long.
Have a good time in the morning.
You got a quorum. I mean, we, yeah.
What was that?
Yeah.
Oh,
licorice.
Formerly a piece of licorice. Keep my cigarettes away.
You have the floor, Mr. Kelly.
Which one do you want to take it first?
We could take 504, the one that we were just discussing.
Okay, 504. The Commissioner of Revenue wanted to insert that part about he could buy the liens. I mean, he could buy the loans.
Yeah.
So basically put that in.
Yeah.
Do you move?
So move.
Yeah, where's Rogers?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So He's running around taking care of a bunch of things. I don't know what.
Okay. Just so.
Yeah.
We've got the language
as we get out of here.
Yeah, something like.
Okay.
He's got the note right here. Commissioner of Revenue must have ability to buy loans from Commerce.
Yeah, I think that's a provision.
Motion on the floor. Is there a discussion on the issue?
What are we doing? The 504 is the organic enabling legislation revolving loan fund, and then what's the appropriate name? But
Gallagher said that he needed the authority in this bill to purchase the loan from the Department of Commerce and Economic Development.
Okay, there's so we got to have a CS of 504.
Yeah.
And
There's a couple other things that should go in there too.
Okay, and I think I asked Rogers before he had to go up and pack gardener's water on the sunset legislation, greenings, whatever it was. But I guess he's got it. You can work with him and
yeah.
And I don't know. I'm just calling. I didn't hear all the amendments. I guess they were cool though.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion is passed. Amendment is adopted. On line 2, page 2, does somebody want to move that the figure?
40,000.
Motion on the floor to make the gross income of less than 40,000 for people who could qualify.
His family.
Yeah.
Husband, wife.
Yeah.
They all said it was too low.
Yeah, I'd move asking them to consent.
Any objection? The amendment is adopted at 40,000.
Okay. They also mentioned that they wanted to collateralize. I think that's a reasonable provision.
Yeah.
So I don't know where to go. Rogers can maybe figure this out.
I would add section D under 430 on the bottom of page 2. Section D, a loan approved by the commissioner under section 400 to 460 of this chapter must be secured by a second deed of trust or other collateral acceptable to the commissioner.
No objection. The amendment is adopted. On line 9, there was a at comparable interest rates after financial assistance. Is that an amendment that the committee wanted?
Oh, what does that mean?
It means that we don't have to put the banks like a loan to go out and get it straight to the state. And I would object to that motion because I don't think the state, even the guys with an energy conservation program, should be going into outright competition with private enterprise. I think they're going to end up getting most of the loans anyway, so I don't see any reason to put that in.
Mr. Miles?
No, I don't see any
stuff. Okay. Yeah. I hope that they're going to be able to get this from the record then, right? Motion to pass the bill out?
There was on page 1, line 17, reads, which he owns and occupies as a permanent place of abode. I don't think we want that owns and occupies because that precludes somebody who owns a fourplex but lives someplace else from coming under the law. So I would move that the words on line 17 and occupies as a permanent place of abode. So it would read financial assistance in making permanent improvements to a residence which he owns which will result in the conservation of energy.
Discussion on the...
Yeah, I would amend the amendment by putting instead of he owns, a person owns.
Is that an amendment to the amendment?
Hey, come and save us.
What's happened?
We're just singing through. We're singing through amendments.
Jesus Christ.
That's fine.
Okay. Question on the amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Somebody keeping track of all these?
Amendment has passed. Yeah, it's on tape.
Wow. No, great. That's terrific.
We made 4 amendments to 504.
504, okay.
Yeah, the first one we just made, Bill made it on line 17.
Yeah, scratch. Go ahead.
Which a person owns rather than he owns.
Which a person owns and which will result. Scratch out. Occupy the area.
Which a. Yeah, okay. I got that one.
Can
Eliminate that.
Substitute 40 for 25.
Wait, yeah, got that one. Okay. We gotta decide.
Added a section D on the bottom of the page.
A D under what, 020 or 030? Oh, here, okay, 030, yeah.
A loan approved by the commissioner under sections 400 through 460 of this chapter must be secured by a second deed of trust or other collateral acceptable to the commissioner.
I'll have to borrow that and, okay. What about the you didn't take the comparable interest rate language?
No.
Okay. And what about the buy language?
Yeah, we put that in.
What'd you say?
We left that up to you.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Given the commissioner authority to buy the loan.
Okay. Tim, could I see that language of yours? Just like
right here.
Oh.
All
right.
The motion to pass out House Bill 504.
I'll so move.
Without objection, so ordered.
I'll move House Bill 505.
The motion on the floor on House Bill 505.
I think,
Mr. Kelly?
Mr. Chairman, that we're going to have to change the sum here. I think we're going to have to work on 329 first, because we're talking about $1 million of percentage points. So,
a million what?
$1 million of percentage points. Gallagher said that a 5%.
Yeah, you guys better.
Better late than never.
Sure.
Yeah, you're on
my other bill. Yeah,
I'm
on the other bill. Is 505 referred to 504?
Yeah. One's the one, one's the
okay.
What are we going to do tomorrow?
Put that print.
We'll meet.
Is there a discussion, Mr. Kelly?
We didn't do anything with the CS then.
We're going to take it up now.
Yeah, we're going to take it up, but presently we're on House Bill 505. There's been a motion to adopt the, or pass the bill up. Question on the issue? Mr. Kelly?
Are we talking about the appropriation?
Yes, yes.
Those in favor of, or without objection, House Bill 505 is passed out. We'll go over to committee substitute for House Bill 329. Discussion on the bill, Mr. Kelly.
Okay, according to Commissioner Gallagher's testimony, he doesn't feel that we can support 5% right now. He suggested 3%. Since the original bill was only 2%, I would say 3% would be a reasonable compromise, and I think we should probably take Commissioner Gallagher's advice on this.
Mr. Dankworth?
Did we miss Mr. Gallagher?
Yeah.
I'm trying to try and carry it on the phone for now. But
real sorry about that.
Well, you know, I've listened to Mr. Chairman. We're talking on 329 now. What figures did he give for 5%?
$1 million of percentage point.
$1 million? Well, I'd say let's go 5 and maybe 10. You know, just a minute. You know, I don't see that that's going to make that much difference. This is a good bill. This piece of legislation is one way of getting some of these funds back to the people. Maybe I'll have to get off the 10%. I'd go for 10 maybe in another year or so, but this is one way of putting some bucks back in there at people's hands, and it just bothers those people, it seems like, up on the third floor to death when we come up with something that's going to
hello.
So, I'm against
it. Not here. Can I take a message?
In other words, you'd like to see it remain
not today.
At 5%.
Well, I'd like to hear what Miles has to say.
No, she has a...
just out of my thumbs.
Mr. Kelly, you...
that you can call into.
No, I think
the only thing I can suggest, I think she's sick, so...
Commissioner Revenue knows where the bucks are, how many we got to spend.
Okay.
Says
all right,
that,
sure.
He doesn't feel we can afford 5% this year, and he feels we can afford 3%. So he's got to afford
3%. You found 12 million to buy that, can't you?
Mr. Miles, did you have...
No, I think the commissioner may be a little bit conservative. I thought 5.
Mr. Bradley?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to concur with both guys who worked on this conference.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, the subcommittee on it. I think 5% is a good idea, and I concur with Dankworth. It's a real good idea to get the money back. I think it's been a real improvement from the 2%. I'm just sorry that one of us didn't think of the original bill, but hopefully we can muddy the water enough to so that we can take the primary credit.
Mr. Lethine.
Mr. Chairman, I also would like to express my opinion about this bill, and the fact that I'd really like to see it at 10%. So if we have to compromise, I guess we might as well go to 5 and be there, but I think it's a very good deal.
Well, it seems like a compromise, if I may, Mr. Chairman, would be 7.5.
Mr. Kelly.
Mr. Magnick, I've got to state right here that I think that we've just blown all pretensions of fiscal conservatism out the window on this particular bill now. There's no reason for the 5%, other than two guys in the committee got together and said, well, as much, the more the better. That's the only reason for 5%. You had no idea what it was going to cost. You had no idea. So, you know, let's call it what it is. You know, it sounds better at 5% than it does at 3%, and that's why we're talking 5%. I'm opposed to it, because I don't know any more about state finances than anybody else in this room, you know. So when the Commissioner of Revenue comes in and tells me, the 5% is too high this year, let's try 3. I want to go with 3.
Mr. Miles, did you have a motion?
I leave it at 5.
No, there's no motion on the floor, Mr. Lethine.
Is there a motion or is there not?
He just made it.
Well, it's already here at 5.
Yeah.
So we're not changing it. Okay, is that right?
Fine. Mr. Bradley?
Mr. Chairman, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that we pass out committee substitute.
We got a problem?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Well, did I?
Oh,
that was a motion
you were
making. No, you didn't. Would you like to know that?
Yeah.
I'll move it.
Are you moving the 3% figure?
Yeah.
There is a motion on 3%. There is an objection, Mr. Kelly.
Well, again, you know.
Question on the issue. All those in favor, raise your hand. Those opposed? Okay, the motion has failed by 5-1. We remain at the 5% figure. There was a question by the commissioner with reference to existing houses. I'm not quite sure where that would fit, but do you remember that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, just so maybe council can write the language, but the commissioner wanted to limit the capital improvements to existing structures only. Can you find a place?
Yeah, probably plug in.
I was so moved that
plug it in page 2, the east definition section somewhere. Expenses 4, and then you can probably put it into subsection 1. Something appropriate.
You have made that motion, Mr.
Yes,
Miles?
Yeah, I think the motion needs to be clarified.
The motion is to make this particular piece of credit applicable to existing houses, and Mr. Miles has made the motion. This is as opposed to new construction or anything else.
Okay. What was the argument on that? Why we don't need new construction?
Mr. Miles,
the commissioner felt that we'd end up in the home financing business for the construction. And he just wanted to make a group there.
He also said that most new homes are being built with this stuff in it already, so the bill's not necessary to encourage it. And there's a similar proposal in Carter's energy program that might become federal law.
Is there further discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to which pass it? No objection. The motion has passed.
The motion
was to restrict this credit to existing houses, which perhaps up to now haven't had as much energy conservation thought put into their construction. Mr. Miles?
I have one to go through with that.
Yeah.
I have one minor amendment on line 24. The end of the line is 10% expenses for residential fuel conservation